Okay, so the recorder. Everyone ready? We'll call the last meeting of this particular deck to order. So welcome to our council members and staff and public and at least one new coming deck member. I don't recognize anyone else. You, it must be Sean. Sean, welcome. Welcome to Wallace as well. Okay, good. Welcome. They've been invited as observers, and they're ready to take office July 1st position. Okay, so approval of the agenda. You have the agenda there. There's just one update, council members, and that is under committee reports. We do have a policy committee report. So just add that to your agenda. And the agenda is approved by consensus, so everyone's fine. We'll move on to the minutes. Any changes we need to make in the minutes? That should say two.
Okay, maybe I'm looking at the wrong ones. Did you?
Everyone good? We're just checking one, might be one error, spelling error, nothing.
Just in the superintendent report, it's ASDWER2, not ER3.
Yeah, so we'll note that change. Anything else on the minutes? Okay. All right. Business arising from the minutes, Minister's Excellence Award in Teaching, and David, maybe I'll just let you catch everyone up.
Sure. The annual awards for teachers across our province in the Anglophone sector, the Minister's Awards for Excellence in Teaching. The deadline is closed. Today was the last call in Anglophone West for nominations. And we do have a number of nominations, and it's a DEC responsibility to work through those nominations and make a recommendation of three names to the minister. Carol has the nominations. My hope is that the DEC might be able to pull together a committee and within the next 2 weeks be able to go through those and choose three nominations.
Shane's interested, Sheila and Terry. Anyone else?
Terry.
Good. This has to be in before the end of July is, okay?
End of June.
End of June. Thank you. Okay. So, I don't think we need a motion for that, do we? No. That's good. Great. Any questions on that? Excellent. Okay, we'll turn it over to David for superintendent reports.
Colleague Sean Tracy, the Director of Finance Administration. Also, I'd like to recognize Tammy Whitney, Director of Schools, Productivity Center here as well tonight. So, the first report is the financial report. If I can find it here, Superintendent. Again, here. It's on your portal, under the calendar, or under the monitoring reports. And this is ASDWEL4, reported four times a year. And this is the fourth of those four times. It's the policy that calls for assurances that we keep our district in good financial shape. I can confirm that Sean and I together would never intentionally incur a deficit. In fact, when we look at the last fiscal year, we finished the we finished all of the work in closing that year, and the final report, and I believe we have an appendix for that, right, Sean?
Yes, we do.
We have an appendix for that. The final report shows a surplus, final surplus of $688,933. Of course, we're a little bit surprised. We knew that there would be a surplus, but that's a surplus that's a little bit bigger than we would traditionally forecast or work towards. It's much better than a deficit in that amount, that's for sure. But we have seen a couple big reasons why this occurred. Number one, we had a really good winter, so a much milder winter had an impact in a variety of areas. Lower replacement costs, so we worked really hard with respect to attendance and the new attendance management program that's been implemented province-wide. And our transportation team made some great strides in finding efficiencies as well. And the good news, of course, is $100,000 of this surplus remains with Anglophone West for use in this current fiscal year.
Might use it if it doesn't warm up.
Yes. So again, those final results they're in Appendix A. We monitored it throughout the year, and we knew that we had to shift budget dollars from line to line. So when you look at that appendix, you'll see that we made some, and when we knew that we would have some additional dollars, we made some investments in IT infrastructure, as well as some additional support for our Syrian newcomers. We also have that contingency plan with the use of self-sustaining dollars. Twice a year in this report, we have to share with you the financials that are specific to the District Education Council. And we have Appendix B for that, so I'll point that out in a minute. As a part of the report, we need to confirm that indeed we keep capital improvement projects, major capital construction projects, we keep those processes separate. There's also a process for emergency funding. When we look at the current fiscal year, so of course fiscal year runs from April 1st to March 31st, and the department in May provided us with $209,825,700 to work with. So Sean and his team now dive in deep into that number, into those buckets, and you'll see them here in a moment. To try and sort out the different areas to allocate that money. Of course, remember that the biggest chunk of that money goes to pay for salaries. But we will get into having district area budgets and school budgets, and those get allocated between now and the end of August. So looking ahead, as I mentioned, we'll be working over the summer months to analyze and prepare a balanced expenditure plan. And we'll present that in September. I believe it's on the planning cycle to present budgeting again in September. We face some challenges, of course, and heating and electricity, that's always a concern. It just so happened that last fiscal year it turned out to be on the positive side of things, but on an annual basis, never knowing what the weather might bring, it's something that we need to watch for. In this particular case, when we look ahead to this fiscal year, there's a little bit of a concern that our dollars have been reduced in anticipation of savings from a new program that's been introduced by the Department of Education, and I'll let Sean speak to that a little bit more. And of course, we'll continue to monitor replacement costs. So, Sean, would you like to speak to the 15-16 final results and the surplus?
Sure. So, as David said, we finished finished the year at $688,933 surplus. you're used to seeing these sort of lines of sort of subtotals of our budget, the instruction school services had an overall surplus of 19,000, education support services surplus of 74,000, school management and support, a small deficit of 68,000, programs surplus of 222,000, information technology, a deficit of 732. Now that is a significant figure in that. That's where we actually spent extra technology dollars on infrastructure for schools. So we bought access points, switches, things that were going to be unserviceable in the future for updates from the software providers, and as well as a large bulk of new projectors that we bought for replacements for schools. So we had surpluses in both facilities and transportation. Heating fuel was a contributing factor there. Transportation, we had a number of efficiencies that we looked at over the year. Deadhead mileage, we moved some buses around and put newer buses on longer runs. We also maximized some runs as well, so when an area, if there was a driver that was retiring, we re-looked at the area to see whether we actually had to keep that bus running, whether we could rejig things, so we had a number of reductions that way as well, so it resulted in an overall surplus in transportation. Small deficit in district operations, surplus in employee benefits area, and a small surplus in projects for the total of $78,933. As David said, we get to retain $100,000 of that surplus, and that comes in an adjustment after the budget's given. So it's not part of the 16-17 budget that we received. We'll get an adjustment for that afterwards. Any questions about?
So where does that $100,000 fall in terms of the buckets
areas?
Are there? Take, put it where you want.
We can put, it's discretionary.
So these are all these separate buckets. So
yes.
So you can put a bucket in deficit, and yet the other ones.
Overall, globally, our responsibility is to balance to zero or carry a surplus.
Is there any way of us maybe encouraging or sending a letter to the department suggesting that maybe the $100,000 be augmented? Because, I mean, that's what it used to be, I think, in the smaller districts.
Yes.
And now we have three times the budget, and yet they still only allow $100,000. I mean, that's doesn't seem to make sense to me.
The last minister was aware, and we will make the new minister aware that as far as the chairs, we feel it should be a percentage. Mm-hmm. That way you never have to adjust it again.
Yeah.
You know, even a very small percentage could equal potentially $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. It depends, because I think our budget in 17 was 42 million, and we were allowed to keep 100,000. So you're absolutely right in the minister, and we'll keep updating the ministers as well as they
make
change.
Sure it never goes under 100,000.
Yeah, no, and they were open
it's
to
like
that.
What they ask us to do, you know, it's a percentage of functional capacity or 100. So,
and
it, two figures. To
and
work.
Is this not mentioned in the regs or the legislation, or is that just provincial policy?
I don't know.
History,
no. I believe it's in the
you and Louis Robichaud
school districts.
Okay.
Allowed to retain $100,000.
Yeah, so they should change it, yeah.
All right, just through you to Sean, just wondering, do you figure out what 688,000 was of 200? You're doing some very quick math. It's less than half of 1%, isn't it?
It's not a very big percentage. It looks like a big figure, but
it's pretty good.
It's
pretty
good.
I got a couple of questions. So, how much money was spent in March? Was there any March Madness?
No, actually, we did the bulk of our purchasing was after the third quarter report when we had that. So we were on to that with our tech plan that we have. We have
That's very good. So, which leads to my other question. So if we didn't have the extra money and we weren't able to do what we did in tech, where would that have left us? Would we be terribly compromised or what?
If we didn't do what we had in tech, yes, we would.
So where would it have left us? Because you had the money, but the department necessarily wasn't planning on it. You had it on your radar, so certainly they must have known the long-term needs. I'm just wondering.
Probably two things. I would think we would have advocated for it.
Yeah.
And we would have had to use investments from our self-sustaining dollars.
So is there any more long-term goals we can advocate to keep some of that $600,000, or where? Going to turn the 588 back.
I think it's already turned back.
There's not.
It's up to the owner.
Yeah. Once they roll up,
yeah,
the province is gone.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm sure the province is grateful. Because I assume it goes to counter the provincial debt.
It rolls up in education, so however education finishes the year, our surplus is contributing to their final results.
Right. It goes to environment and local government.
And we haven't received any thank you cards in regards to that. Any other questions on that? Do we need a motion on that?
Well, we're not quite done.
Okay.
Would you like to see how you did as a deck?
Yeah.
Sure.
You were offered $42,000 to run your business this year. And you spent $46,811.
It's probably my travel.
Sounds like good government.
It's probably my travel.
Deficit of $4,811, which we were able to absorb in another bucket. Travel was.
I think travel was a big chunk.
We did a lot of extra. Any questions?
Thank you. We all thank you. Sean, will we? Make a budget of $42,000 or $46,000 for these folks for the new fiscal?
Are we having the same number of tech meetings that we had last year?
No. We won't have the same number of sustainability.
We should try 22
again.
That's our
sustainability
travel in there, too.
That's probably contributing
factor.
Yes,
that has sustainability.
So are you all right with trying 42 again?
I'll put it up to 50.
It don't matter. What does the department download? Do they download anything specific to DEX anymore?
No, it comes in as, and I'll show you on the next slide, as an operating expense for every area of our budget. The DEX operations is in that figure.
Any questions on the DEX budget? Okay. Go ahead.
Here's the $209 million for this year.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sean.
So this is how we receive our budget from the department. It's we get a spreadsheet with a number of tabs that feed into this for calculating it. This is the summary page. So it's organized in a similar manner as what you've seen in the 2015-16 results, although we take this and we expand it out quite a bit beyond what's reflected here. So under instruction school services, it's $134,928,000, and that's your teacher salaries and school budgets. Instructional materials is in there. They also receive an allocation from operating expense line further down. So school management support, that's all of the support salaries for school administrative assistants, the replacement costs, library assistants, our social workers, and talk with me program people for a total budget of $5,986,000. Number three is the education support services area, is our EAs and student attendance, school management workers, for a total budget of $11,638,000. And bucket number four is transportation. That's our, of course, obviously our bus driver salaries, our operating costs for our buses, and contract conveyances as well for $12,400,000. And facilities is custodial salaries, maintenance salaries, as well as the maintenance vehicle operating costs. There's an operating expense line in there, which is $10,535,000. We actually take that and break that out into the individual areas that we have water and sewer comes from, and the snow removal, garbage removal, all those sorts of things are funded under that $10 million figure. Contracted cleaning as well is in there for a total budget of $20,816,000. So under district management, we have the Office of Superintendent salaries, the Education Support Center salaries, we have the operating expenses for our IT group. That is an in and an out. They give it to us and then they transfer it to the actual IT services branch, so we actually don't keep that. That's not very long. The debt compensation funding as well is there. Then the next line down is the operating expenses, and in that we have to break out operating expenses for schools, for the district office, for all the other areas where we have employees that are incurring travel and those kinds of things. That's all funded from that $2.5 million. Then the next area is the benefits area, which is $13,210,000. And you can see there's a variety of different benefits that are in there for our staff that we have to
It's a good place to point out, this is the summary, the $171 million, that's a summary of all the salaries. So there, if you notice up above in each of those buckets, the top line is usually salary. So you have $171,800,000. So if you took that as a percentage of the 209, you can see that it's a big chunk.
You guys get paid too much.
Who said that?
What?
So, number 9 is the programs area, that's Healthy Minds and Nutrition budget is there, that's a school-based budget. First Nations education is a budget used to support First Nations in our schools. Community schools budget, that is the allocation for the community schools coordinators are in there, as well as operating budget for them. Bucket number 10 is an additional $895,000 that we received. And that rolls up, what that's made out of, is the New Brunswick Public Library Service. All of our public library salaries for their librarians are in that. There's $247,000 of that, $895,000 is that, as well as an allocation for classroom composition of $183,000. A salary for alignment champion, as well as salaries for 3 ESS leads, I believe is what they were, David, $143,000. And there's a budget in there for youth futures that's used to support educational PE. And we have a small allocation for the Sistema after school program, $6,000, so $895,000. So we would break that out into our expenditure plan, and it would be reflected differently on that than it is here. Are there any questions on the budget?
Ron?
You're almost $2 million down from what you had last year, gross, right?
Yes. One thing I'll mention, I figured I might get that question. The budget, the 15-16 final results, of course, is with all the money that we get throughout the year, so it would include the professional development budget, which comes later, usually in September to early October. Historically, we'll get that funding. I think last year it was close to $1.5 million that we received for PD for all staff. And there would be some other adjustments that we would get through the year, like emergency funding from the department for facilities emergencies, those kinds of things that we receive throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Sean, on the way down today, I heard that the EA's librarians were going to get a raise. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I heard that as well on the radio, and how that works is, as far as us is that at some point we'll be told actually go through a reconciliation process of what we actually pay out, and the department goes and gets a central salary draw from government to cover those expenses. So it's not an expense that will affect our operations. It's we'll get funded for it.
So going back to Ron's question, what was our initial budget last year versus this year at 209?
It was... was 209,852,900.
They cut us $25.
Yeah. That was original. And we had 1,833,000 in budget transfers received during the year. So that was 1.5 for PD and then 300 for other things.
So, Donald? Yeah,
I see the instructional school services budget is down by $2 million. How do you account for that? I assume salaries go up, and the only thing I could see is a reduction of staff, possibly.
So that particular area there, that's where we get into this is the way the budget comes, and then we have to build the expenditure plan. So we pull from other areas to actually funnel into what you would have saw like in the third quarter budget where we showed you an expanded version, but I'll just give you an idea of what other things are in there beyond teacher salaries. There is, last year, the actual operating expense that we received, the $2.5 million, was received under instruction school services. And on this particular, on the budget piece, you won't see it on there, David, but on the budget sheet, which is Appendix C, you'll see that that's represented under number 7 as its own line, 2.528. So that would account for a portion of the difference that you're talking about. Okay. And we have to break that out. As I said, some of that goes to schools and to supplement their school budgets.
Now, under school management support, last year the budget was $69,59,963, and you were in deficit $68,025. How come it's $1 million less this year when that was a deficit position? How can you drop that amount?
Again, part of that would be there was $301,000 of operating costs that's not represented in this figure here. Our original budget load that we got was $11,454,000, and we received $11,638,000, so it's $200,000 less.
I'm talking about number 2.
You're talking about number 2? Okay.
Yes. I mean, if your deficit $68,000, you drop the budget by $1 million. It's
so last year our budget was $6.290 million. So we are about $300,000 short. There, we received last year budget transfers in of $164,000. We actually moved in $500,000 for school office and telephones that we have to add into there from the bucket number 7. So this is that, again, this is just the way the budget comes. The expenditure plan puts it in a model that you're familiar seeing where it's all broke out into the buckets. Where we just got this, and we're going through the process of doing that work to get into that, and it takes some time. So
you're saying that original amount where it says Oracle budget for 2015-16 of 6959 was not the original amount that came?
The original amount was 6290.
Okay, so that's...
The expenditure plan adjusted that up by $500,000 for office and telephones.
Still half a million.
So what you're talking about will happen in the fall when you have more time to spread it all,
yes.
Spread it all out. Okay.
Yes.
The buckets are very confusing. I always thought that, like, they stayed within their own realm, but it sounds like you're moving them around to meet the needs. So I guess
And this is like the way that we break it out in the expenditure plan is the way that I've done it for as long as you know that I've been doing this work, which is 17 years. But this particular way the budget is coming is different the last 4 years coming that particular way there. Where it's rolled into what they call buckets. I'm trying to streamline the budget, but we have to take it and break it out to where we actually use it so we can actually track and monitor those cost areas. So we actually know whether the school is $500,000 enough to pay for all of their phone costs.
So then right off the get-go, you start moving money around for the expenditure plan.
We take it from this and we move it into our framework for the expenditure plan. And last year we did a number of the biggest thing we transfer is that operating cost. We cut that out of that $2.5 million. The salaries, which is the bulk of our budget, those stay in those areas, $171 million. We don't move those around.
So they had talked about making it easier for district staff to understand. So my question is that it almost seems like they're making it easier in one way. Because it's understandable in terms of layout, but it's almost like there's more work, though.
So I wouldn't say there's more work. There's the same amount of work. It's just, it comes in this way here. There would be another email that I would get that would have 15 different spreadsheets in it that would break out all the little areas of how they determined these costs. And then I have to look at those, compare them to last year, see if that's enough money, in my opinion, and whether we have to draw from there or whether we have surplus to try to present a balanced expenditure plan. So it does come somewhat with experience of reviewing it. And, you know, I personally, I like the way that this comes because it's we can set it up and it's very easy, quick to see what we got this year versus what we got last year. And if there's any red flags, then we can start asking questions about it right away of the department so we can understand any of the changes. There was one thing in David's report that he asked me to talk to you about was the project on peak demand under energy. And what that is, we heard about it at our infrastructure conference that we went to in April, that they were undertaking this peak demand project. And basically what it is, it's a controls project for our building systems. And the idea behind it is that when you have a large building like FHS and you turn everything on at once at the beginning of the month, and you hit that peak load and that demand charge, then you carry that demand charge for the entire month, that cost. So it costs you more for your power all month. So what the controls do, and we already have this in our schools, is that it phases on the systems. So maybe you turn on the fresh air first, and then you start maybe the rest of the ventilation, and then you start the lighting, and then you start this, and it phases in. Instead of it coming on in 2 hours, they would phase it in over 4 hours to try to eliminate those peaks. So DTI has an energy consultant that is reviewing all of the peak loads on every school in the province, and they have estimated the savings that if they put these controls in place after all the costs, they've estimated the total savings of XYZ, that amount, and remove that from our budget. So I don't know the exact figure that was removed. It's not a looks like about $200,000, but I have a feeling that it might be a bit more than that. So we've not had a budget call with the assistant director. He's actually been out due to a family emergency. So we're waiting for him to get back, and we're going to go into that peak demand a little bit, because I have some questions about it, about the process. You know, I want to make sure that there's some milestones in there where we get to check the actual savings versus what they actually took, and that they are matching up, so we don't end up in the third quarter explaining a deficit in energy as a result of this program. So that's what I'll be.
But are you saying the buildings now have those controls in place?
Most schools do, not all, but they. This summer there's a number of buildings that are receiving control upgrades from, and it's not part of our capital program. It's money that came from DTI through their lighting upgrade and control budget that we benefited from for our system. So they will be working with this consultant and reprogramming some of our schools. And in my experience, sometimes when you change with the way a building works, sometimes there's some quirks with, you know, maybe in the wintertime it might be a little cool, you know, so it's adjusting those things. So we have schools warm when students arrive. So it's finding that particular point in time to make it perfect, I guess.
Ron?
Just wondering if you've done anything regard to LED bulbs in your schools?
We have done some work in gym areas, large gym areas with LEDs. The department has gone through a large lighting upgrade with DTI, their infrastructure branch, had a lighting program where they were getting rid of what's known as the T12 bulb, which is a bigger bulb. They replace those and refitting them to a T8, which is the little one that if you bought it for your home today and would have bought a fluorescent, that's what you'd get, is that little one. So all the fixtures in the schools are going to change to T8s. Most of them are done. New Maryland is an example of one that's being scoped out right now to be done this summer. I went to a project meeting. I've never visited that school yet, so I tagged along just so I could get a chance to see the to that meeting, and they were talking about that very thing, about the T8 switch over this summer. So, which is actually a brighter light for classrooms and less energy.
So, I forgot my question. I'll go back to the other one. In the budget, have they allocated for anything that's going to come out of the 10-year education plan?
I believe that is what we're seeing with the additional funds that came, the alignment champion, and the additional classroom composition, and the extra FTE for ESS.
Okay.
Would be that kind of.
And the other question, where there was extra money last year, and we don't know what will happen this year, I know school psychologists have been hard to get in. I think it's a pay band issue. Is that it? Is there any thought of, you know, if we? I mean, it's great if the department says we've got, you know, 10 school psychologists in the district or 100, but we don't need psychologist positions.
Correct.
We need psychologists.
In this 895. Sean mentioned, I think it was 143 for ESS positions.
Yeah.
That was actually for 3 psychologists. But when we explained we can't find psychologists, we were given the okay to invest those positions into other education support services type positions. Yeah.
So
and you're right.
Yeah.
It's not a competitive salary benefit package to when it comes to a school psychologist.
Okay. Any other questions? So would you need a motion for that?
Well, what are we looking for, Sean? So this isn't the official expenditure plan. Okay. I guess what we would need to know is that you're okay with the September public meeting passing an expenditure plan. Even though the Ed Act says July 1st, nobody's going to have it ready for July 1st.
I have a question. David, would you know the difference in the psychologists through the education and psychologists in the health, the pay difference? And why can't we do better and pay them better so we can get them?
Mm-hmm. I know that the Part 2, we're Part 2 and health is Part 3. The Part 2 human resources understand the prediction. It's not only school psychologists. It's there are a number
speech
of management and non-union positions that aren't commensurate with the with the work they do.
Yeah. So how do we make that happen?
The principal of a large high school has a salary that's higher than his immediate supervisor, the director of schools. So there's some kinks to work out.
So back to power, which is what I was thinking of. The savings in the peak power, is that because on a commercial level, NB Power charges different for peak power? Is that where the savings is coming
from? No, it's the same as if you look at your own power bill at home, there'll be two things
right
there. And if you hit that second peak, if you have more than two children, like myself, you'll hit that peak and then you'll pay more for the rest of the month when they use that much hot water.
Yeah.
It's not huge residential, but for commercial, it certainly would be.
There's no sense. Good. Any others? Great. Thanks, David. Thanks, Sean. So next report. Final thank you from the final meeting of the day. Sean, thank you.
I'm just
he's not leaving. I take back the final thank you. ELA.
ELA, Communication to Council, reported twice a year, where it just calls for me as a superintendent to keep you as a council well informed. We have our policy reports to council on a monthly basis. We have our planning cycle. We are posting our reports and preparations for the meeting anywhere 4 to 7 days prior to the public meeting. We always strive for 7 days, but sometimes it filters into a bit of work on the weekend to get it up on Monday. We share with you any changes in staff within our district office, non-union and management and human resources, principals, vice principals, to a formal memo on a regular basis. Try to keep you informed of trends and facts and information. We always try and give you the heads up when we anticipate media coverage, mostly through email. I think you probably get at least one or two from us per week. There are a couple of other components here about communication and how I'll work with the council as a whole or with committee, formal communications or informal communications. And as we look ahead, I would, and I'm anticipating that the new council will look at our policies. I would make a recommendation that this policy only needs to be considered once a year as opposed to twice a year. There's a lot of repetition in this particular policy. And I also think that we need to look at a more beneficial way for me to present the monitoring reports. And I know, Mark, you attended a conference, and I'm sure this summer we'll talk about some ideas that will make superintendent monitoring reports a little more efficient and perhaps enjoyable, although I'm sure you enjoy them now. So some challenges. There's a suitable understanding for the formal reporting process. As I mentioned, we'll look to fine-tune this. I believe there's been considerable improvement since the beginning of the DEC term. There is quite a bit of news to share on a daily basis, or maybe 3 to 5 times a week. And then as we noted, there were a number of meetings this year. As I look down here through the appendices, we have our planning cycle, which I know we'll look at prior to the new school year beginning and with the new council. And then this is just a sample of the memo where I'm going to be ready to send out another one. It'll be early next week. We've had another round of hirings of principals and vice principals in preparation for next year. So that's the communication report.
Any questions? I just want to say further to that there is a policy I was trying to find it quickly and I couldn't, that talks about communication through the chair, and we had decided, if you remember as a deck, that you know David will just, for the most part, send everything out as soon as he gets it to all the council. And I personally like it, and I think it has affected this policy specifically on how well communication is coming, because there's no bottleneck there. So as a new deck comes in, obviously we can have those discussions, but I thought it was working well that just everyone gets all the emails as need be, and people read them when they can read them. So I thought it worked well.
Yeah.
So anyway, any other questions? All right, that's EL 8.
And the last reporting responsibility that I have for today, and there are actually 6 reports, and I won't open each of them. Perhaps I'll open one of them to use as a template. But in the province of New Brunswick, there's what's called a tuition enhancement agreement. That's the short name. There's a more formal name, Enhanced First Nations Education Programs and Services Agreement. And this is an agreement that's signed by the minister, by the 15 chiefs, and by the 2 superintendents that are... I shouldn't just say 2 superintendents, because the Francophone superintendents are involved as well. But for instance, in our school district, we have 6 First Nation communities from north to south. We have Madawaska First Nations in the Edmundston area, Tobik First Nation in the Perth Andover area, Woodstock First Nation, Kingsclear First Nation, and St. Mary's First Nation here in Fredericton, and then Oromocto First Nation. And we have 5-year agreements that have all been signed. And one of the responsibilities within the agreement is that the superintendent on an annual basis needs to present a report to the District Education Council, to the Minister of Education and Early Childhood Development, and to each of the chiefs and their councils. So we prepared the individual reports for each of our 6 communities, and they follow a similar template where we talk a little bit about the proposals. By the way, just to explain where the money comes from and what the agreement is all about, because the education of First Nation students is a federal responsibility, the federal government will provide funding to the First Nations community, who in turn pays the province of New Brunswick a tuition for every student within their community that attends the public school system. And the agreement is that 50% of that tuition gets turned back to an enhancement committee. And the enhancement committee consists primarily of the chief, the superintendent, the First Nations coordinator, and the director of education for the First Nation community. And that enhancement committee will make decisions based on proposals or on staffing needs to try and enhance the educational opportunities for those First Nation students. So when you think about the fact that tuition is $11,074, so half of that for each of the 500s First Nation students, goes into those, that money gets managed by the enhancement committees. And it's a carry forward account as well. So in each of these reports, we outline the proposal process. Typically the money is spent on staffing. That's where most of it is. And also on, so that's extra staff to support the First Nations kids. And on proposals that come through that might focus on language, culture, thank you, 518 students at our last count. Language, culture, special activities, opportunities for First Nations students. So each of these reports has a, will outline the committee membership, will outline the enhancement staff, will outline the initiatives, will outline the enrollment by grade level and by school, and then we'll show a beautiful financial tracking sheet that pretty much only Sean and I understand how it works, but it's there. If you follow through line by line, our committees understand how it works, but we go through it line by line to account for the finances. It is the district that manages, and Sean quite generously has agreed to be the gatekeeper and works closely with me on that, as opposed to delegating it to the budgeting and accounting team. So basically there are six reports that look just like this. And I don't think you necessarily need to go through each one, but they're there for your viewing. And following this meeting, I'll send them along to the Minister of Education, as well as each individual one to Chief and Council.
So where does the other 50% go?
Provincial revenue.
So they pay the province.
That's right.
And you get,
and we get 50% as the okay. As the enhancement committee. Yes.
Not education, just provincial revenue.
I don't know. Do you know, Sean?
Well, it's paid to.
It's paid to PECD, right. Department of Education. So it's revenue for education.
Is it part of the budget?
Probably. It's
I'm thinking, well, it would have to be in their budget somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But in our budget, is that what you're saying, that the budget presented?
No.
Okay.
So, no. This is considered self-sustaining funds. It's in Program 19, all this enhancement funding.
That's right.
So it's tracked separately.
It's not a fiscal year type of.
Okay. Carries over each year.
So 518 times 11,074. Divided by 2 is the amount. There's a few million dollars in there.
I have a question. I'm just not quite well, somebody can answer. If our Toba First Nations students needed tutoring through the summer, do we somehow pay for that?
There's an enhancement initiative that engages kids. It might not be tutoring like you're thinking of, like after school tutoring in the summer, but there's at Tobe First Nation there are two summer programs actually.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're multi-dimensional.
So it would be free to the Tobe First Nation kids or whatever reserve they're from. Thank you.
So are all the agreements signed and when are they coming up every
5 years. We just finished the first of 5 years.
So you just finished the first year of 5 for all of them?
Correct.
Okay. Good. Any other questions on this? Great. On to new business. New school names. David, I'll let you update everyone on that.
Sure.
I think everyone should know by now.
Great. So we went through the naming process for the Stanley schools, because you might recall Stanley Elementary and Stanley High School amalgamated to form a K-12 school, and the official name is now Stanley Consolidated School, and that was a name that was chosen by the minister after considering three recommended names that passed through our council and were decided upon by the naming committee. Likewise, we had Bath Elementary School merge with Bath Middle School, and the name is Bath Community School.
Will that change?
Nope. That's the yes. They were. There's no controversy associated with these names. So I sincerely thank the naming committees for that.
Donald?
Does the community school have some kind of designation where they are a special school?
Right. Yes. This school doesn't have that designation. Those designations stopped, I'm thinking, about 5 or 6 years ago. We still have some in our system that are officially designated and still have that attachment.
This one?
This one doesn't have staff attached. I stand corrected. It will next year because the community schools coordinator for Florenceville Elementary School and Centerville Community School worked with the director of schools and the principal, and an arrangement has been made for next year for that community schools coordinator to be assigned to that whole Carleton North area. So it's going... She, instead of just focusing on those two schools, she's going to focus on the catchment area, which includes Bath. So it's kind of, it's nice, and we applaud the principals of the two schools who see the bigger picture. And
the share of the
yes.
Community.
Yeah.
Good, any questions? Awesome. So District Education Council vacancies, we received clarification from the department. They're starting July 1st, there will be... three vacancies in our sub-districts, and also we have to put out a request for a First Nations representative. So last time we discussed whether it was our mandate or we had to wait till the new one, and they said, you know, there's nothing stopping us from proceeding as soon as we possibly can to solicit names. So what I would look for now is basically discussion, or we probably should have a motion to go ahead and write letters as required to send out to all the schools, forward to all the PSSCs. Jane moves. Donald seconds. So again, the plan would be to send a letter to the schools to forward through the PSSCs to solicit names. There is a process of how to solicit. We do have names on file. If those requests are missing information as per the procedure, then we would reach out to the existing names as well and ask for that additional information. The legislation says, or the regulations, I'm not sure, says that we would then meet as a new DEC by then and go over the names and submit three names, except for when it comes to First Nations. First Nations, we submit every name that comes in. In the past, the minister has sent out the letter to all the First Nations communities, and we've checked with the minister, previous minister, and he said it's fine for the councils to go ahead and do that. There's nothing specific that said it has to be him. So
two letters?
Yeah, so two letters. And what do we feel is an appropriate deadline for response? The end of June, or...?
Yeah.
Because they're going to be out of school anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, so June 30th, okay.
So, if I can, not that I'd like to challenge the authority of the council.
Yeah.
But whether it comes in at the end of June.
Right.
Or the end of August, will. It's going to take a few days to get the letters out. I'm just wondering if the end of June is too quick.
Into July.
Very busy this time of year.
Well, and we technically can't make a decision until our first public meeting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a good point to me, so I don't mind.
I'm just questioning the making the decision at the first public meeting versus a consensus of the council prior to the public meeting.
Right.
We normally gather in August, for instance.
Is there any protocol for having to be at a public meeting? Are we going to come into a public meeting and list everybody and say who we're going to send?
The question is, do we if we don't have to make a motion, then right. Mm. So that's the question that would have to be answered. So if we just set it for the end of July, then it won't matter.
Right.
We'll find out by our first meeting.
We'll find out by the end of July, I would hope.
We'll find out the names, and we'll find out what our obligations are.
Yeah.
And we can make that decision.
July 31st is a good date in my mind.
But time is of the essence to get those letters out, because I mean, once they leave school, the communication channel is...
And the good thing is we already have some interest. I think there's one sub-district who might have one name.
Five, one, and two.
Yeah, so we're already well on our way.
Just from a prior conversation, Mr. Chair, previous conversation, there should be a bit of a synopsis of a person's resume or a little bit of...
Yeah, and I believe that's in the policy when we send out the letter, so we'll make sure we get that right, so there's a little mini resume. Good. So it'll be July 1st deadline, so we'll get that out. So certainly spread the word, everyone that's here. We've just said it publicly, so... I did recognize Sean Wallace.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Sean Wallace, thank you for being there.
One other thing. The names of the people that have come in already, they should be sent out something.
Yes, they will be sent. They will be contacted. All those will be contacted.
And some of them are on PSSC.
They'll be contacted to make sure their name was submitted with all the requirements. That would be the first thing that we do. Yeah. Good. NACWIC updates, David.
Well, you wrote as a council a letter to the minister requesting that the damaged wing of NACWIC High School be fully repaired. And I'm pleased to say that the damaged wing at NACWIC High School will be fully repaired.
Yes.
Yay. So it's good.
Thank you.
Good news. That's yes. Nice. There were a few factors that came into consideration, and among them, which made it an easier choice, was your work on the realignment of students in catchment areas.
And I think it would be important for you to mention the work that you and your staff have done towards this.
We worked hard with facilities, Sean and Philip, and I give them credit for that.
Including a number of meetings, phone calls, at least one email. So certainly they've worked hard right from the beginning, including doing a space utilization. And there was a lot of meetings. So,
Good ending to the story.
Yeah, very, very good. David, Millville timeline, if you would like to ask. Any questions on that? Millville timeline.
So you might recall that Millville Elementary is scheduled to close on June 30th, at the end of this month. We have spent some time with the staff at Millville, had a full formal meeting. Sean, I believe you were there today, Sean, actually, yes. A lot of correspondence. The Millville instructional days will end 3 days earlier this year. So their last day of school will be on Tuesday of next week to allow the staff to not only take care of their traditional end-of-year responsibilities, but really to shut down the school and pack up. We've provided some extra support in terms of custodial, some extra support in terms of admin assistance. We provided each teacher a release day so that they could still go to work, but they could secure a supply teacher so that there could be a little bit of extra work, including some release time for the principal. Met with community stakeholders to talk about the things that could stay in the community, because as you remember, there's a lot of history in that building. With respect to staffing, there's four FTE, and so each of those teachers are fine. With respect to working next year, each of those B contract teachers. The D contract teachers, there is one D contract teacher there, and she'll just continue to go through the process. Likewise, the admin assistant and the custodial are a part of collective bargaining units that when they are in layoff, they have the benefit of bumping based on seniority, if I remember correctly. Mm. So they've both secured positions, I believe.
If they haven't, they will be.
Okay, if that, depending on where the process is.
Where they are in the
there's enough seniority that they will be placed. In due time, the new council will declare the building surplus. Traditionally, it has to happen before March 31st because we keep it on. It's on our books now until March 31st of 2017. And although if there's some kind of opportunity out there, I'm sure that we could allow that surplus to occur quicker, and DTI could do their thing if there's a sale of property or decision of what to do with the building and property. So that's the story with Millville. There's been transition for students, opportunities for them to visit their new school at Nacogdoches Elementary. At least two of those teachers are going to Nacogdoches Elementary with them.
Good. Any questions? Thank you, David. Canterbury.
Canterbury is a K-12 school, and in the village, is it a village?
Yes.
In the village, Miriam's hometown, and see if I can call up that map. Is the map on here? Carol?
Yes.
CHS map.
CHS map. Here we go. There you go. So, picture coming into, like, the Trans-Canada Highway is up near the ceiling. So, coming into Canterbury, you drive in probably about 8 to 10 minutes, would you say, Miriam? And then this is a, sort of like the downtown Canterbury.
Yeah, this is where you come to first.
This is, right, and this is our K-12 school. And I'm going to allow Sean to take over.
Okay, so earlier this week I had a chance to go to Canterbury and look at, it had some traffic concerns out there around surrounding offloading of students. There's no crosswalk on the street. So currently in the morning, parents, some parents occupy this little triangle right here. They call it the town square.
Yeah.
And the 8 or 9 parents will cram in there, and they'll let kids off and go across here, and buses currently come in here, and parents will jig in there behind buses, and it's not a real great scenario. So we went out to problem solve that, to see if we could make it safer. There's luckily never been any accidents or anything, but due diligence, you know, we went out to see what we could do. So through this, we discovered that this area here is owned by a private citizen, and we come to find out that they own our driveway. So currently this entrance here is for the after hours for the gym, as well as teacher parking during the day. So part of our solution for traffic control out there was to make this the parent drop-off. So parents would come in here and come up here, and we would put a new roadway in here so they could pull back out on the road and drop kids here, so they wouldn't be crossing the street or in the bus zone or in the triangle square. They would be coming through here. So that was sort of our goal. So through that, we discovered that we didn't own this piece. And as well, there is, when you step out here where we're thinking about putting a crosswalk here, we actually own this piece of property here as well. And that is student parking. So high school students are parking over here and walking across. There's no crosswalk. So we're working with the village. It's their responsibility to put in the crosswalk. And I'm actually calling the mayor tomorrow to have a discussion with her about that process, so she understands what we need. So when you're coming in, like David said, you're coming in from the Trans-Canada. This is, if you've ever been out there, it's very heavily treed right there along the roadway. So the school, even though there's a school zone sign, it just sort of pops up when you're driving.
There's a slight turn, too, before
you
get there.
Yeah, there is a turn.
And
up,
you can't see the school or down around the turn.
So there's a store up there called, it's closed now, but it's called English's.
Yeah.
And from there down, if we had this piece of property being our ownership, we could actually trim the trees back So oncoming traffic could actually see this, there was a school there, and they wouldn't be so dependent on a yellow sign and a whole bunch of green trees to know which school they had. Right? It is there. I did see it, but you have to look for it to find it. So we investigated. The principal actually contacted the landowner and asked them what they had for sale for, and it's listed at $25,000 and for 14 acres, and they're looking at $19,000-$20,000 as kind of their threshold for purchase. So land purchase is something that the DEC has to approve. If you wanted to purchase this ground so we could own our driveway and make some improvements.
Could we just buy the piece of the driveway?
No.
It's all or nothing.
It's kind of an all or nothing thing, and obviously it's not been a problem all along, but when you sell a piece of property, you never know who your neighbor's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a future problem. So my suggestion would be for us to take advantage of the opportunity to purchase it. We do own a large piece of property out there.
It's right beside it. Like
right here, goes way, way
we
back.
We own beside that triangle.
Yes.
Okay.
We own the other side of that triangle. It's almost an octagon. It's huge. There's a big swamp in there. Anyway,
okay,
it's not great ground, but we could look at future expansion for student parking back here.
Yeah.
There is quite a grade there. So it would cost some money to fill in, but that isn't like part of our motivation for getting the property.
Hey, we need a motion to purchase.
Maybe. I'll make a motion.
Okay, Sheila, Miriam, any questions?
No.
Where will the funds come from?
Well, I approached David today that we would look at taking self-sustaining funds and use that money for purchase. The department actually has to facilitate this once you've made your motion and it passes. And then we go to the department and say, we want to buy this property. Then they go to DTI and they start the process.
Question.
At the end of it, we own it.
I want to ask a question first. Is it already surveyed or do you have to resurvey it?
They would require it to be surveyed, the Department of Transportation would.
Okay.
Any other questions?
What is the functional capacity of that school?
There's 181 students there, I do know that. It's K-12. Questions?
Ready for the questions? Say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Contrary, same side? Yeah. Motion carried.
Thanks, Sean.
Feasibility studies. David, I'll let you update us. As you know, we made a request for a number of Ernst & Young type studies. Actually, the department called for recommendations, and we also made a recommendation in our capital construction list. So, where
right.
are we at?
So, we gained approval to secure a consultant to conduct a study. The first study that we've been given the go-ahead to hire a consultant is for the whole south of Fredericton. So we had it divided into two. We had one as the new K-8 school concept, Hanwell, Kingsclear, Priestman, Garden Creek, Connaught, a little bit of George.
Yeah, I thought we just had a K-5 potential there. We talked about not needing that 6-8.
Oh, I don't. It's possible. I don't know, Jane. I always remember it as a kid. Anyway, that's how.
I believe that's what was put forward.
The K to 8 or the K to 5?
As far as the south side.
Because I think I remember us talking about moving kids out of George Street, and that would lower their enrollment, and there wasn't a need to look at the middle school concept. There was just a need to look at the elementary.
Okay. So that can be vetted out.
Yeah.
We can go back into the minutes and we can vet that out through the process, and it might be that the consultant might make a recommendation of whether K to 5 and, or K to 8 is one is better than the other. But
I don't think those would be in the minutes, David, because those were, that was talking about what they wanted. That was a request from them. I think what would be in the minutes.
K to 8 was a request from them.
Right. We made.
Yeah. But I don't think there was anything. I don't think there was a motion made on our part. I think the motion comes only from the Hanwell.
We said the submission for the motion number 2, a Hanwell study to look at the possibility of a new school in the Hanwell area.
Yeah, we were talking K to 5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the night that we kind of rushed our decision.
And yeah, Hanwell was K to 5, but
No, Hanwell wanted K to 8.
Hanwell wanted, yeah, they wanted K to 8. Okay. That was their request to us.
Pardon me?
We want to study.
We wanted to study the K to 5 because that's they're all elementary schools. They're just the George Street Middle School, it's the only middle school.
Are you interested in feedback at all on the possibility of middle level? Because we need to define that for.
Well, they're paying for the study, so I certainly am. If they're going to pay the study, it doesn't hurt us to have that data.
As long as both scenarios are looking at us and not just study the KDE.
So can we note that, Sean?
I'll just alter the...
Because they have merged it all, Hanwell and South, as you see on the
document. Yes, because we have the Southeast, I call it, the whole Forest Hill, Liverpool... And then Montgomery, and Montgomery is pretty close to Priestman, so those two are sort of interconnected. So that's where they want to start. There was an investment made there of $75,000. And then that's the only one that's been approved at this time. Is that right, Sean?
Yes.
Yes. But they have the remaining two noted that we've submitted our desire to have those studies. You might recall that was the northwest of Fredericton and the town of Oromocto. So Sean has already talked to Ernst & Young.
Yes. Yeah, I contacted them just by email, but I have a conference call with them tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to discuss the scope. So the K to 5 piece is in my documentation. It's specified to be 8, so I'll add another scenario to that.
Thank you.
So this is different in that the department drew up the scope for the VOHA study. We're doing this as a district?
Yes.
Yes.
We submitted a problem statement. Okay. Two problem statements that they merged together. I could read them to you if you'd like.
Yes.
Sure.
Problem statement number 1, Southwest Fredericton Hanwell. On May 19th, the District Education Council voted as a number 2 priority for the major capital construction list to request a study be done on the K-8 scenario for students in the southwest end of Fredericton. The council is interested in knowing if the building of a new K-8 school in the Hanwell area would benefit our system. Impacted schools would be Kingsclear Consolidated School, which is triggered for study with a request for a 1-year exemption, less than 100 students, Garden Creek Elementary School, Connaught Street Elementary School, which is a DEC-approved number 3 major capital construction priority list for an addition, Priestman Street Elementary School, which is overcrowded with modular classrooms, and George Street Middle School, which has high enrollment and is an older facility in the downtown core. The potential of closure of 1 or 2 schools and realignment of catchment areas should a new school be built, could be examined. We have some data on enrollment, functional capacity, and Hanwell demographics. Does New Maryland Elementary, which is 7 minutes away from Hanwell intersection at the highway, come into play? Does Montgomery Elementary, which is leased property from UMB that is full with a modular but close to Priestman, come into consideration as well? So that was the first problem statement that Sean will amend to ask for 2 spokes, 1 at K to 5 and 1 at K to 8. And then the second one, and this
David,
isn't...
David, I'm just on that one, excuse me. So I'm looking at the motion, like you quoted a motion there.
I didn't quote it as a motion.
No, read the first part again?
I just said as a number 2 priority for the major capital construction Request a study to be done on the K-8 scenario for students in the southwest end of Fredericton.
Okay, so the motion reads that Hanwell study be reviewed serving the Hanwell catchment area in collaboration with the Fredericton South study. That's what the motion reads.
Right. Sean will clarify. Sean will maybe make sure that you have the motion in hand and you talk about the priorities, the two different vantage points, a K-5 scenario and a K-8 scenario. Yeah, we want to get it right. The second one, and this isn't as long, I called Southeast Fredericton, an examination of Liverpool Street Elementary, which is a grade 2-5 with modulars, Forest Hill Elementary, which is a grade K-1 with modulars, and Montgomery Street Elementary, which is a grades K-5 with modular and leased from UNB. All three schools are very crowded and draw from a popular subdivision, both within walking distance and from a busing zone. So now my questions, would rezoning work if a K-8 school was built in Hanwell that freed up space in Priestman? Could a school close? Is a new school in this part of the city something that would be feasible? Could there be partnerships with universities? So we were required to give them what they call a problem statement so that they could have a focus on the study.
Just to go back to the motion. Jane, the motion you read is the one in the minutes that says I move that the Hanwell study be reviewed serving the county.
Yeah.
So there's no specific mention of a K to 5 in
or
that,
to
or to K to 8. So
no, but there's also no specific mention of the Montgomery Forest Hill Liverpool situation.
No, in fact, what this is, this first study is actually a merger of your major capital ask number 2 and the invitation that we received to submit 3 or 4 ideas.
Yeah, they're merging the studies. It's not just our motion they're fulfilling. Mm-hmm. They're merging the other requests we made.
So in doing so, they've actually approved your number 2 prior to December or whenever they do it in the legislature.
It's a huge deal, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I already got number 2. You don't need number 1.
Oh, okay,
no.
Yes, we do.
That
won't happen.
Any
no,
questions
sure
on that feasibility study?
The timeline, I'll just mention the timeline for completion is a report to be submitted by October the 1st. It's the parameters that I'll be giving them tomorrow. And they have the process document that I gave them, but I'll revise that tomorrow when I speak with them. They'll take that away. Back with a cost estimate as to what they will need for their
I got a part-time job with Ernst & Young for the fall.
Will we ask them to engage our staff and engage the community, like for instance the city of Fredericton and the village of Hanwell?
I don't believe they did that with Leland Haynes. They worked primarily with our staff and the department of education staff. If there's data that they would require, certainly could give that.
I remember that was one of the criticisms, I think, is that there was a feeling that they could have expanded who they talked to.
Yeah, the feeling was that the district office could have written that report.
Yeah. Well,
so all their information came from internal.
Like I know, for instance, one of the demographic experts with the city of Fredericton, following the Leo Hayes publicity, wrote to me and said, "We can help. I have some information, some data that I could share. So maybe we could just mention that too."
I'll mention it to
them. Certainly the subdivision growth aspect.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I expect that Hanwell, there are some experts in the community that could be engaged too.
David. Potato Harvest Committee, I'm going to turn that over to Sheila.
Norma Jean's going to do the recommendations.
Recommendations for the Potato Enhancement Program. We recommend training opportunities be made available to participating students in the areas of first aid, farm, safety, and equipment operating. Recruitment. We recommend that the administration from Carlton North work in collaboration with farmers and potatoes in Brunswick to more accurately promote student employment. Third recommendation. We recommend that the school administration collect the names and dates worked of each participating student and parent before and after they complete the harvest schedule. We recommend that communication should start in May to invite all students to register for the fall harvest program. The school then in turn shares this information with the farmers. To accomplish this, the school must keep a current register of farmer information. In order to collect the feedback from participating students, we recommend the school facilitate an exit survey for them. We recommend that the district investigate ways to model the program similar to the co-op program while retaining student employment. Last recommendation. The recommendations were made following feedback from farmers when DEC members sent out questionnaires in April of 2016. The committee was John Slip, Sheila Gallagher, Miriam Grant, and Norma Shaw. So submitted.
So do we have a copy of that? Is it on?
Yeah, we've seen it.
You've got a copy and it's not. But I can give you a copy.
No, I'm just wondering if it was posted to the portal or.
We would ask that the DEC look at the recommendations and give us feedback. Or, David, what do you think of the recommendations? Or
yeah. Where was that, David?
The May working meeting. Did you say expand to other schools? Was that one of your recommendations?
No.
Okay.
No.
What was it? It was expand.
Model the program similar to the co-op program.
I didn't think there was anything.
So my question for you as a committee, because we had talked about amending the potato harvest policy. Is that something you wanted to talk about tonight as well, or no?
No, I think we've spoken that. And
we haven't made any approvals yet. So I'm wondering if what you're wanting is that David would take that policy, because we've talked about it, and him making further recommendations to us and bringing back the policy, maybe including some of these, and maybe a separate report. Is that kind of what you're looking at?
We would like some of these recommendations to be looked at in the fall during potato harvest of this coming year. Yeah, if at all possible. Jay, the director in Woodstock, has a copy of the recommendations.
You know, I'm just looking at the recommendations. I mean, some of them are very operational. So for us to say, David, we want you to do all this, that's not necessarily.
Teachers were very, very, very cooperative in wanting this information.
Right.
Plus, the farmers were too.
Right.
Like, they didn't have
to sustain the program.
Yes, they want the program to sustain.
And I agree, but as a DEC, I'm just trying to figure out our role in saying, yes, do this, or David, take this. This is what the committee recommends. This is what we're passing on to you.
The doable, if there's something that we can have done in the fall, we'd like to have.
Right.
I can see that the co-op program isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen this year.
Right.
I can't imagine that.
No, that's not going to happen.
I mean, to get feedback from the students, that should be, we should be able to do that this fall.
Right.
We should be able to have time slots for those kids going out and coming back. And if the committee can meet again, if we have to do our own questionnaire for the students, we could do that. We talked to, I believe, the administration in that school, that her husband is a farmer, and she thought maybe using the cell phone, her cell phone, her husband's, to clarify if the student is staying out that day for work or
accountability and communication is the biggest
was just going to suggest, this is not a surprise. We saw this Woodstock. We discussed it in a working meeting. So it's not really a surprise. So my suggestion would be it forward to for our superintendent to look at it and see if that's contrary or difficult for him and his authority and administration as a superintendent.
Right.
You can approve that in maybe not formally in August because it's not a formal public meeting, but you could approve it in principle. So it's already in operation, and then it's a matter of clarifying it in the September meeting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the group need to move on, and the administration of the schools need to move on. So this is not a surprise tonight. We've all seen it.
It's not a surprise. My concern is interpretation, because we have the limitations and we have ends. And if we say, David, we want you, for example, if it's coming from the deck, we want you to do certain student surveys. I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't based on your feedback and the deck accepting the report. I'm saying to come to give the superintendent very specific recommendations on how he should do the day-to-day job. You know what I mean? I'm concerned about the process of we make sure we do our role, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what your expectations are as a committee.
Well, Mark, I don't think this is the superintendent's day-to-day job, but looking at this is to keep the potato enhancement program running in Carlton North for the students and the farmers. Maybe, David, you could look at this, and if there's any feedback that I can help with in August, Miriam and I and Andy Saunders could get together with you and do something.
I was just going to ask through you to the superintendent, have you seen this falling bread? Do you have some concerns? Or?
No, I don't have I don't have concerns. I see recommendations that I can work with.
A lot of it's already in place.
Some of it is, some of it is sort of automatic and natural. Some of it might take a little bit of extra work, and it might be the following year. But I know that the DEC policy as written right now is antiquated, and to take these recommendations and the recommendations from staff and merge those together in the drafting of a new policy, I think is probably a wise idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Could that be done for the August working meeting? The new deck?
I think so, yes. I think if you make policy a part of that August, that retreat, I think that, which should probably happen.
It just seems to hold it up.
Well, can we...
Ron, are you passing the buck?
Yes.
No, I'm actually trying to get the buck moving here, you know.
Well,
we're dragging our heels, that's all.
Yeah, so why don't we make a motion to accept the report to give to David, and he will report back.
So moved.
So second. Make that a motion.
Okay. Move, second. Any questions on that?
No.
Do it.
No. Could we have the people that presented the report move and second?
Yeah.
They had their hands up.
Okay.
Okay. Norma and Miriam. Okay. All right. You're fine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Talk to everybody on the same side. Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Policy committee report, Sheila?
Oh, gee, that's me.
That's you. You're up again.
Do we have anything here? I have
nothing.
No.
You don't have nothing. Okay. David and Bowen and I have been meeting. We've met three times, had lots of phone calls, lots of angry moments, but anyway. The policy committee final report. The policy committee, which has met over the last couple of months, began looking at many different policies. The core issue that the policy committee faced is the power that the council chair has within our policy. One major concern is how our agenda is put together. It should not be at the chair's discretion as to what is to put on it. This is why we chose to focus our efforts to bring our policies into alignment with proper policy governance. Over the last 2 years, there's been too much information not forwarded to this council. Every council member should be guaranteed an equal right to information and equal say. There are many issues within our core policies that should be assessed by the new policy committee. At this time, it is not prudent for this committee to make changes that will affect the new council in the coming years. This is from David himself. I've enjoyed being the chair of this committee and recommend the council look for the people that want to learn and are eager to make improvements. Now, this is David Bowen's final thoughts. I've enjoyed working hard for all of the schools within Anglophone West. However, I have found it very difficult to make any positive changes within the system, even though I was led to believe I could. I've been overwhelmed with the amount of government influence and red tape that seemed to intentionally exist to stifle our efforts, such as fiduciary duty being thrown out the window too often. I don't believe that district education is intended to serve the children of the province, of this province, and not the political party of the day. Within the last 4 years, there was too much internal political decisions being made which negatively affected the ability of the council to work effectively. When this district does not think it's important enough to establish a district-wide sexual assault policy, mandate the reporting of this policy by every school in the province, I question the ability we have to make any positive changes for our kids in Anglophone West. To have learned that a second sustainability study would be conducted on a school that was previously completed and signed up on, I have to wonder what our efforts were in the first place. These senseless decisions are a big reason why I decided not to waste 4 more years of my effort with this council. One final note, there was also too much lobbying done and not a core sense of what fiduciary duty actually means. For all the effort that I've put in over the last 4 years, I feel like I was not able to accomplish enough. I hope with these final thoughts, the next council will make efforts to work effectively with the goal of improving for the sake of the children. Choose your leader wisely. And the rest is just for me. So yep. The only thing that David really wants us to look at is the agenda policy and the communication and to make sure that roles are followed. That's his final report.
Thank you. Any questions? Great. Moving on to correspondence. You just have all the correspondence there. If there's anything you want to bring up, you can bring up. But we talked about naming schools in Nackawick, and the 409 exemption has been granted. I don't know if that's on the portal, but anyway. Yep. You said we made a compelling argument in elections. So, yep, good. Well, that's it. So, councillors, farewell. We already had one. Any others? I just put it on if anyone wanted to say any last words, sarcasm, and you go right ahead. Whatever you want.
Oh, my word.
Look
at
that. Oh, man. Don't make us cry, Ron.
So, I won't cry. I don't really totally agree with the previous council report, but I'm going to leave there. I've had 5.5 years. I did a year and a half with the former District 18 Council and 4 in this one. And it's been challenging at the time, but I do respect the colleagues that have worked with. I'm not sure, having worked with both councils, that amalgamation of all the districts either A, improved education, or B, saved any money. I don't have good evidence of either one of those. But I know one thing, that the district staff have tried to do everything on their part to make it work. Mm-hmm. And I congratulate them and thank them for that. I do want to talk about sustainability studies just for a moment. I call it our necessary evil. It's the least enjoyable part of the council, but it's necessary, in my viewpoint. We are accountable for the budgetary expenses, and that is a mean thrust of what our job is here in working with the superintendents. Now, I've heard it said by others and by my colleagues tonight that it's the government job, perhaps, and I don't agree. We need to keep politics out of such decisions as sustainability studies, in my view. We are an apolitical body, or are supposed to be, elected or appointed, and should be the ones, in my view, to make an objective of a study of these schools. That being said, the studies this year and the number, I think there needs to be caution in the future on the number of sustainability studies that a council should engage in. I feel we as a council and the staff had too much on our plate this year, especially this past year. And it took our focus, I believe, as a council, off educational issues and other issues that we wanted to study, and we were so focused on that we left time. And I say, for example, mental health. Now, we scratched the surface and we got some things done. And we're pleased, I think most of us, about that. But it really isn't the in-depth that we wanted to take on the challenge about that topic. I leave that as an example. I'm equally concerned with the amount of time it took for our superintendent and his support staff to give us information and the incredible amount of time and the 10 meetings that our staff did devoted to these sustainability studies. And I thank the superintendent and all staff for the incredible amount of time. And they had to come back after arriving home at 10:45 at night, or went back home and coming back into the work next day. I want to thank my fellow counselors. We didn't always agree, and I think that's a good thing. If we were all puppets and agreeing, and we had some really heated arguments both here and in working meetings, but I think that's a good thing. And again, I want to thank in particular the staff of Carol, who's been a wonderful support to her deck, and to David, who's tried to answer our beck and call when we wanted things, that I really appreciate that my staff. I want to thank the dedication of time and talent of my fellow council members, and I wish all of you best of luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
I've enjoyed my 4 years. I found it intense. I found it upsetting. I found it certainly challenging. Unlike Ron, I sat around a table and we didn't always agree. And you know, that was a good thing. And I guess it made us all think about the situation that we're all in and the district that we were looking after. Yes, I think that I made some inroads in my area, and yet sustainability studies did take a lot of time, but at the same time, that's part of our job. So I do want to thank David for leading this district, as big as it is. Being a former teacher, I can't say I really think that this is a good idea, that we have this big a district for one man to have to be responsible for, but at the same time, I'm probably stating my age rather than the times, but I do think that there are some things that can change, and I think that's in the future. Carol, thank you for keeping us all in line and communicated and all the things that you do. Mark, for our leadership in the last year, and for all the counselors for being here and being diligent in your efforts to try and make a difference. These little hands are tied many times, so it doesn't always happen. And our people in the background, like Sean, that don't get a thank you, but I think he deserves a big one. And yeah, I'm going to miss y'all.
Elizabeth?
I'm going to... Everything you said and everything you said, Ron, I agree with totally. I've been on the deck for 7 years, and the last 4 years, I really started out as strangers, and we end up being friends. And yes, we had our disagreements and arguments, but I think it was all for the greater good. It's been an honor and pleasure working with such a wonderful group. I got to have a big thank you for David. David and I go back 7 years, and I admire and respect him immensely. He's showed such strong leadership, and I wish him all the best in his future endeavors. Carol, I can't say enough about you. You are just a true sweetheart and just a beautiful human being, and you've gone beyond us taking care of our needs and everyone else's. And support staff like yourself, really, you're just a wonderful person, and you have an amazing team. And Mark, you've done a wonderful job leading, for being a deck chair, and Kim, vice chair, and everyone around the table. I will miss you, each and every one, and I wish the new deck all need big things and push on the mental health. Thank you.
I should say something too. Everybody else has. I came onto the deck late. Okay, sorry.
Acknowledge the mayor.
Acknowledge your lordship.
Yeah. Your lordship. I came on late, being appointed just 18-19 months ago. And I was a little apprehensive coming on because you've all been here for a while. I didn't know what to expect, really. And I certainly have, it's been a pleasure working with everyone, David, all the staff. I certainly have enjoyed getting back into education because I've been out for 10 years now. I like reconnecting with educators and getting to discuss students. And I always worked, as a teacher, I always worked for the students very hard. And so anyway, that's the...
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
My words are going to be very brief. Last year, my wife and I celebrated our 50th anniversary.
Congratulations.
And at that time, the priest asked us to renew our vows. And I got up there and I said so many nice things to my wife. And I expected her to say a lot of nice things back. And what she said was ditto. So that's all I want to say tonight. I think everybody's expressed the feelings that I have. And to everyone that spoke so far, ditto.
And I know there's council members returning, but certainly we want to give everyone around the table a chance to say a few words, if so be it. So.
I want to say that it's been a pleasure getting to know all of the parts of this district through all of you. So for better or for worse, there are parts of Anglophone West that have your faces on them for me. Some areas we got to know like the back of our hand. It's just been great getting to know you all and getting that hands-on flavor for the students that we work with through you.
We're not going to belabor, but I just want to say I formally appreciate everyone as deck members, every single deck member that has worked hard. You've made me better by agreeing with me and by disagreeing with me. And it's our collective efforts of working together that I think make us better people. And I want to formally recognize all the staff, specifically David and Carol, but other staff. We make them work hard when we make requests and it doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you. And thank you to Philip and others that are not here. So. Thank you all, and some of you will see in the next life of that. Anyone else?
I have something to say. It's not about me and my time here at the deck. I just want to add a couple things about my schools that's been very exciting for me. At Donald Fraser, our little school up in Plaster Rock, they applied for a grant to provide fruit for their students, and they received a grant of $3,400. This is my school that has over 100 volunteers. They also put $230 of books into each classroom. And most of you heard about the recycling of bags. Well, they won that. They 326 Save Easy Whatever bags per child was collected for 1 week.
Budgeting advice up there.
And they got the prize of $3,000. And the other thing I wanted to add is Perth Middle School's always had a little bit of a bad reputation because it's a feeder school for one, 6 to 8, and new principals coming and going. But the other night they had their recognition banquet, and I believe going to get the exact number because it was wonderful. Kevin Harding and his wife are the Mins there, or the principal guys, and they had 87% of a turnout for their middle school banquet. So 250 people attended that, and that's remarkable. There's lots of other great, great things happening. And that's when I sit as a DEC member, and I know on Saturdays Stacy made us very aware that we have to speak for the whole area, but I don't know what your schools are doing really. I know what mine are doing, and they've had a great 4 years.
Excellent. Thank you. Anyone else before we move to public comment? Great. Thank you, everyone. So this is the public comment. If anyone has public comments, stand, state your name, direct your comments to the chair. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Jones, the chair of Maysville LSD, and I just want to thank your committee for coming to our meeting on Tuesday night. Jane, Kim, and David for coming. Some of our questions were answered. I know you guys are going to get some emails back. And thanks.
Already done.
Thank you very much for coming. It has relieved some of the stress in our little community.
Thank you. Any other members of the public? For new DEC members sitting here, this is not always how the meeting goes, so be ready to work. Thank you for being here. Okay, motion to, Miriam?
Yeah, motion to adjourn, yeah.
Oh, just a second. And Kim wanted to mention something too, but you forgot. Go ahead.
No, that's all right.
Oh.
You want me to motion to close?
Oh, okay. No, Kim, you wanted to mention something going on?
I just wanted to mention that there was a vigil downtown tonight at 6 o'clock, sponsored by the Fredericton Pride, the PFLAG, and the Fredericton Gender Minorities Group in memorial for the people of Orlando that were shot. And I would have been there, but we have a commitment to this body as well. So.
Good. Miriam, motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. Second there. All
before
right.
You go,
before we have something.
Oh.
You thanked her, but we didn't all thank her.
Oh,
and, you know, we have the person who is the, she knows who drinks coffee and who doesn't eat onions. And
or garlic.
Where we're coming from and where we're going to and where we need to be. And she does all of that paperwork for us. And
she books
our
rooms.
Gave you a lot of paperwork back.
Yeah.
And the pot to put it in.
Meetings adjourned, leave your laptops. That's all we can give you tonight.
Carol, can I do this?
Sure.
Carol, it's not a gift, but it is recycling.
Now, I bought this.